tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome, good Pat. Welcome along to the final hour of Tip Today. 1800 938 007. That's our free phone number, and the text and WhatsApp is 083 311 3311. A senator wants to use the use of the term Oglaigne Héireann to be an offence for anybody to use other than the Defence Forces. Now, the IRA and some other dissident Republican groups have used the phrase, which loosely translates as Warriors of Ireland. Well, Senator Malcolm Byrne says the name shouldn't be misused, and he joins me now. Senator, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
And thanks very much for your time this morning. I could be forgiven for saying to you that, you know, with all that's happening with education and COVID and Brexit and the like, there's more important things that we should worry about.
I'd agree with you, and on all of those issues, I'm quite happy to talk to you as well, but Even with regard to the Defence Forces, there are a lot of concerns around terms and conditions for the Defence Forces, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that we don't address other issues. And one of the concerns that's often been raised with me by members of the Defence Forces is misuse of the title Oglaigne Héireann. There is only one Oglaigne Héireann. That is the brave women and men who serve our country in uniform. So this is a fairly simple piece of legislation that I've worked for a while that I've introduced. And what it will provide is that you can only use the phrase Oglaigne Héireann in relation to the Defence Forces. Now, it should be stressed this doesn't apply in historical contexts, and the legislation applies for that. So what people are talking about, you know, those brave individuals who served in the Irish Volunteers, mm-hmm. as part of the War of Independence and so on, we're not talking about in a historical context. That's protected in the legislation. And any organizations like veterans organizations or PD4 or RACO, the representative organizations for those in the Defence Forces, they're covered because they're talking about Oglaigne Héireann in the context of the Defence Forces. I'm talking about the situation which we know where we did see a dissident Republican group use the specific title Oglaigne Héireann in recent years, and others have tried to use it. And this is about saying, you know, very clearly, mm. we're proud of our Defence Forces. Oglaigne Héireann, the only ones entitled to use it are our Defence Forces. And so this would make it an offence.
And I'm not quite clear, Senator Byrne, how you would police that then. I mean, if it's dissidents using this, I mean, how do you bring them to book?
Well, what it is is that hopefully it will prevent them from doing it. I mean, obviously, you're going to say to me, look, sure, people who are intent on a campaign of terror aren't going to, you know, yeah. care too much about using a name. But this is about protection of titles. So, for instance, while it might be more difficult for me to determine, Fran, if you were involved in, you know, terrorist activities, if you published a document using the phrase Oglaigne Héireann, That in itself is an offence, would be an offence under this legislation, except if it was related to the Defence Forces. So it's, and it's as much, and this is something that people in the Defence Forces have talked to me about, is, you know, they're very proud of how they're serving our country. And they really get annoyed when they see the title Oglaigne Héireann being misused. So I think we should be protecting that.
Is there an argument to be made that we should look at the title for our Defence Forces anyway, because Warriors of Ireland is a little outdated, maybe?
No, I don't think so. It's a historic title. It has rich historical significance, and people in Tipperary will be very much aware of the historical significance of the title and those brave individuals who fought for us in the War of Independence. So there's that historical link, but it has been, you know, the title of the Defence Forces under the legislation, going right back to 1924, and I don't think that it is. In any event, we know it is. The title of the Defence Forces. There is only one Oglaigne Héireann, and what this legislation is going to do is to protect that title. And I, as I said, I do accept that there are bigger issues. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy the government, and it was clearly a commitment of Fianna Fáil when we went into government, to set up the Commission on the Future of the Defence Forces, because there are certainly issues around pay and conditions for those in the Army, the Naval Services, and the Air Corps, uh, and We want to see that addressed. But this is also an issue that we need to tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. And huge issues with our defence forces, and not just in recent years either, you know. Do we have to recognise them for what they are? I mean, immediately, for example, when it got to mandatory quarantine, we said, oops, we need the army here. So they're always our last line of defence, and still we don't treat them as such.
I know, I entirely agree with you, Fran, and I would have been very critical of the previous government's way in which the defence forces are being treated. That was why when Fianna Fáil went into government, one of the things that we were insisting on was a commission on the future of the defence forces would be established to look at the issues around pay and terms and conditions. There are serious concerns around, and I saw it on your report in the Examiner yesterday, around the numbers who are leaving after 5 years or under 5 years. We've got to look at retention within the defence forces, part that's to do with terms and conditions. So it is a much bigger issue. And it is, as you say, during these times of COVID, they have loyally served us and helped us in our community. Yeah. They continue to serve on peacekeeping missions. I mean, one of the things I think we should be hugely proud of in Ireland is that Ireland is the only country that has participated in every single UN peacekeeping mission. That's something that I think should be of great pride to this country, that our defence forces have played a very significant role in peacekeeping around the world. I think that those brave women and men who don the uniform deserve enormous respect, and part of that is ensuring respect for their title, that nobody else is allowed to misuse it. And I think respecting Ó Cuilín na hÉireann, it can be done by respecting the title, but I entirely agree with you. The Commission on the Future of the Defence Forces needs, to ensure that the pay and conditions issue is addressed. I mean, there are other issues as well, and I know people have talked about, recognising those soldiers who were involved in peacekeeping in Jadotville.
Yes, instance, of course.
Which is something that, I and others have been pushing. And
the treatment of those men was appalling, I'm sure you'll agree.
Just I entirely agree. And I've had the privilege of speaking to some of those who fought in Jadotville. The service that they provided, I mean, they were peacekeepers. They fought very bravely. We finally now have an independent investigation of the evidence, and I would hope that there will be appropriate recognition that will come through this. I entirely agree with you that the defence forces, they haven't been properly recognised, but I would hope to see now that there is a change in chapter. I was speaking to the Junior Minister for Defence, Jack Chambers, around this recently. He's very committed to ensuring that the recommendations that will come from the Commission on the Future of the Defence Forces are implemented. But we really do, as a society, we have to recognise the contribution that the Defence Forces have made. Why I brought forward this legislation is about protecting their title.
Well, hopefully we will recognise those men and women indeed. Would you mind if I dragged you into a conversation we've been having throughout the programme? We were talking about the James McLean situation where, the hatred online and one thing and another. And we're talking to Timmy Hammersley about GAA players even being subjected at times to that sort of abuse. You've been very open, Senator, about your sexuality. And I'm just wondering, have you been a victim of this?
Yeah, well, I know Timmy, and he's doing great work with Spun Out. Yeah. And I think there is. There has been a general problem of abuse of anybody in the public eye for a whole variety of reasons. I've experienced it, and I think if you talk to nearly any politician in any party, they have experienced some level of online abuse. We passed in the Oireachtas just before Christmas a bill which is known as Coco's Law, which you may be familiar with, which was named after Nicole Coco Fenlon, whose mother actually lives not far from me here in Wexford. And she took her own life after consistent online bullying. Now, that was a teenage girl who was just bullied online. So we've passed legislation to attempt to deal with that. I sit on the Oireachtas Committee on Arts, Sport, Tourism, Media and Culture. Bit of a mouthful. But we're going to be dealing quite soon with the Online Safety Bill, which will include measures around protecting young people when they're online, But my view is, and I mean, I'm very conscious of the abuse the McLean family would have faced. My view is that if, for instance, you're using Facebook or Twitter, that you should be providing some form of identity. You don't have to, you know, be yourself. You know, you can post to a certain extent anonymously online. But if you post something hateful or if you post something defamatory, then there should be a way of tracking down who you are. And with Facebook and with Twitter, you know, that doesn't happen at the moment. It's no different to, for instance, if you open a bank account, as you know, you have to provide evidence of who you are, and that's to prevent money laundering. I think we need to have, you know, some sort of mechanism that those who, and technology is great, and, you know, social media has allowed us to communicate very effectively in so many ways. But we really do need to stamp down on online abuse and on hate speech.
But how do you force these global companies to change? I mean, they don't see themselves as publishers, and that's the big issue, isn't it? They see themselves as providing a platform.
Well, it's true, but interestingly, I would dispute their definition as not being publishers because if Donald Trump has done anything, the fact that he's been banned by some of these platforms, that was an editorial decision. So therefore, you know, they are publishers. And if we look at what's happening in Australia at the moment, where the Australian government are trying to ensure that where the social media giants use, you know, they pay for the news that they gather from traditional newspapers or news gathering sites, you know, Facebook is at war with the Australian government.
Threatening to pull out, in fact, aren't they?
Yeah. And we really do need to ensure that we have a situation whereby we can look at how the state can regulate these social media giants. And by the way, it's not just the state. This is going to have to be for us at a European Union level, because some of these companies, I wrote a piece recently even around this. For instance, Apple has the same annual revenues as the GDP of South Africa. Amazon has the same GDP as Finland. So you're talking about some of these companies now are as big as countries. And it has huge implications, not just for all of us, for our online safety, but for democracy in and of itself. Because, you know, whatever complaints that you have about us as politicians, at least the public can choose who their politicians are. We have no control over the owners of these social media companies. And more they're influencing so many aspects of our lives. Now, don't get me wrong, I think technology is great, but we have to be able to regulate it to ensure that there is respect.
Right. But there needs to be a global appetite for that regulation, I suppose, and that's the issue, isn't it?
There is, but I think that it's there. I think people are concerned around issues around their own data privacy when they see online bullying, where their information is going to be used. I think, you know, if I would say to people, you know, when you're looking at your phone, if you're not paying for the product on your phone, you are the product. The company is gathering, you know, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or TikTok, they're gathering that information and they're selling it on to other people. You know, these are concerns and discussions that we need to have. We as legislators need to look at regulating within that space. It's going to be one of the biggest challenges over the next decade. And I make a prediction to you, Fran, you're going to be talking more and more over the next number of years about the relationship between government and the state and technology companies. This is going to be on everything from online safety to data privacy to algorithmic decision making. I mean, one of the issues around the leading certs, which, you know, a decision has been made around predictive grades, is this debate around the algorithm and what factors will be used in drawing up the algorithm. And we haven't really had that debate. And we need to look at, you know, our relationship as a society with technology. And as I said, technology is great. It helps us to do so many things. But we have to look how we as a state regulate the sector as well.
Senator, really good to talk to you today, and thank you for your time. Thank you and good morning to you. And that's Senator Malcolm Byrne speaking to us there, 1800 938 007. One listener on to us on WhatsApp to say, hi Fran, listening to Timmy, that's Timmy Hammersley who spoke to us earlier on. Listening to Timmy, I myself am a GAA referee in Tipperary. I don't even have a Facebook or an Instagram page because the abuse and social media has gotten completely out of hand. I've been refereeing for nearly 10 years now and I've reported abuse several times. But to my complete shock, the person abusing myself in the instance has always got off. It's taken as a given, in my opinion, if you're a referee in the GAA, you will be abused and you just have to block it out and get on with it. On my last point, it's actually the management of a team and not the players that the abuse comes from, in my opinion. And that's a listener who wants to remain anonymous there. But that's amazing. In fact, I often wonder, and God knows they're necessary and it's terrific that people do it, but why people would choose to be a referee is something that always really kind of concerns me, because the amount of abuse they get from the sideline, from parents, I mean, at young games and the like. Another listener says, the abuse that comes out of people on the soccer field is the same abuse that goes on behind closed doors as domestic violence. The soccer matches provides a medium for venting anger. It's nothing to do with the game's passion. So there you go. Have you seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix? Well, if not, you should watch it, because The Social Dilemma is a 2020 American docudrama film, and it explores the rise of social media, I suppose, and the damage it has caused to society, focusing on its exploitation and manipulation of its users, that's you and me, for financial gain. So it's something to definitely keep in mind, the kind of surveillance that's happening to us all of the time in terms of how we're using our phones, how we're using our tablets and our laptops and all of that. All of that is stored up and it's used. And every time you click accept, you're adding to the whole thing, and we're all doing it all of the time. But there you are. I'll be back in a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.